Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I'm so excited to have you here with us today. This is kind of a twofer. On the liturgical calendar, this is the Reign of Christ Sunday. It is the Sunday before we start Advent. And it's also the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So you will hear those themes run throughout the service. We will be in my church talking about ways that we are thankful for our church and for the congregation at Bethlehem. Since I'm moving, we're going to have a time where they can write all those things down for the new minister. So you'll hear that talked about later in the service, but I really want you to also take that time when I talk about it to think about all the things that you are thankful for as we move into this week of Thanksgiving, not just about your church, but about your life. What are you thankful for in life? And it could be little things or big things. Also, it's a time in the liturgical year, with it being the Reign of Christ, for us to take a moment and remember why the earthly Jesus was so important to the figure of Christ. They are one and the same. They're the whole coin together. They're not even two sides of it. They are the same. And we take this time to pause a little bit before Advent to remember why exactly we are celebrating. So let us come together now in this very full and thankful service. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's psalm is from the 93rd psalm. It is a foreshadowing of the king that Jesus would become in his time on earth. Hear now the words of the psalmist. The Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. He has established the world. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. More majestic than the thunders of mighty waters, more majestic than the waves of the sea, majestic on high is the Lord. Your decrees are very sure. Holiness benefits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Let us join now together to say those words that we hold dear as the tenets of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today with so much to be thankful for. We are thankful for your Son, Jesus, who came to this earth and became our King. The Christ, your Son, who had been there from the beginning, came to earth to die. And he did so, the King of Heaven. We are thankful this day for that sacrifice. We are thankful for so many things in our lives, for the birds that sing, for the sky that is blue, for the beautiful music that you give us, and for the friends that we gather with. Hear us now as we pray the words that your Son, Jesus, the King, the Christ, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Cary Grant had his daughter Jennifer late in life. He wrote to her often. Below is an excerpt from one of those letters. This one is undated. His wish for her life was to be full of thanks. May we all be so fortunate. Dear Jennifer, resolve to enjoy life to the fullest, but unselfishly. In fact, only unselfishly can you enjoy life to the fullest. Be considerate, respect endeavor, strive for excellence and good taste. Be pure in mind and therefore in turn behavior. You may judge yourself to have good and bad points. Strengthen the good and forget the bad. Take care, good care, of your dear sweet self. Be kind and risk loving, and no harm can evermore come to you. Be thankful for ears that can listen to Beethoven and a bird singing on a telegraph wire, for being able to see the face of good people and the sweetness that lies behind their eyes, for the young friends and children whose voices make up the sweetest music in the world, for those books that light up the mind, for simple songs to sing, for the sun by day and the moon by night, for the flowers that dance in the wind, and for the grain that lifts its head above ground and gives us our daily bread. Jennifer, you've brought great joy to my life. Signed, Cary Grant. Today's gospel lesson is from the book of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Hear now the gospel according to John. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth, listen to my voice." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we come together on this week that will be full of thanksgiving, let us first be thankful for the one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Christ in the person of Jesus who came down and died for our sins. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Have you ever looked back on pictures of yourself when you were little and thought, "What in the world were my parents thinking, letting me walk around the world with that haircut?" Even more than that were the Christmas morning pictures. Did no one want to tell us to brush our hair before we came into the living room to see our presents? Some of my first non-fuzzy memories of Christmas morning happened at our house on Waverland Circle. It was a one-story house with a long hallway off the living room that went to all of the bedrooms. If I close my eyes, I can remember with great clarity the moments that my brother and I spent behind the closed door to the living room on Christmas morning. The anticipation was thick in the air. We were both so excited to see what was just on the other side. I could almost feel my heart about to beat out of my chest. The first thing we would see, of course, would be my dad down on one knee to capture the glorious bedhead moment when we first saw our Christmas gifts all laid out by Santa. This time of the liturgical year always reminds me of the moments before Christmas. We are so excited for Advent and the holidays, for trees and presents and lights and holly, but we still have a moment, just a moment to go before we open that door. It is fitting, I think, that the Sunday before Thanksgiving is the reign of Christ celebration. It is a great reminder of what we should be thankful for more than anything. It is a reminder that Advent and Christmas were not just about the birth of a regular baby or presents and trees and lights. None of that would be worth celebrating if the baby was not Christ. It is a reminder that we are celebrating a king that will one day stand before Pilate and be sentenced to death for all our sins. What is more important to be thankful for than that? Pilate has no idea the magnitude of what he's putting into motion. He's not a Jew, so he's not well versed in the scriptures that Jesus has been teaching and preaching. To this point, Jesus has mainly let people think he has just a healer and a teacher. He has said privately to the disciples that he is the coming Savior and all that was about to transpire. But as we have been studying, they don't believe him. They can't fathom it. They may believe him to a point, but the whole thing is just a lot to take in. But here with Pilate, a leader in the government and a non-believer, he declares himself king. He tries to explain to Pilate as well, but he doesn't get it either. My kingdom is not of this world. You can almost hear the questioning in Pilate's voice. So you're a king? He's thoroughly confused. What world? Did they have a concept of aliens back then? Did Pilate think that Jesus meant another part of the world that he didn't know about? You can almost see him scratching his head with confusion. Psalms describes him perfectly, but Pilate would not have been familiar with these words of what kind of king Jesus was and what he ruled over. Remember, it says he established the world. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. It is the entire world that the Lord is king over. From the very beginning, there has only been one. The floods and the mighty water and the thunder and the raging seas all show the majesty of the Lord that makes him the king over all the earth. He made and controls all things that seem to be uncontrollable. We see it in the Daniel lectionary scripture from chapter 7. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. No matter what was to come for Jesus, his kingship would never be destroyed. He knew that. Pilate did not yet understand. We see it in the answer that Pilate certainly would have been confused by. You say that I am king, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. The truth is that Jesus was proclaiming to the world before his death that he was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What we are about to celebrate as the Alpha of the life of Jesus has been in existence since the very beginning of all creation. But for his time here on earth, the Omega moment was not possible in full without the Alpha of his earthly beginnings. It is the best way to start Thanksgiving week. It is the best reminder of the one thing at the heart of everything we need to be thankful for. For the gifts of family and friends and bounty, we give thanks to the Lord. For the upcoming season of Advent and Christmas, for the words of Mary in the Magnificat, for the birth of a baby in a stable, for the angels we hear on high and the shepherds watching their flocks, for the wise men who bring gifts and then they give the gift of safety, for the faces of the children and the hope of stockings filled, all of that. And so much more, we give thanks to the Lord. I'm even thankful for all those Christmas morning pictures. The ones from my first Christmas with a ridiculous red bonnet on my bald head. The ones from Waverland Circle with my robe and my wild hair. Those moments of building joy and childlike faith. That what stood on the other side of the door was a wonder and a treasure beyond what I could imagine. That is where we are today, waiting for the door to open on Advent and Christmas. Thankful for the moment to let the excitement build and to have the opportunity to stop and remember why we are all here in the first place. In my congregation, as we come to the table today, let it not just be a time to come to communion, but let it be a time of thanksgiving. Just before his own sacrifice, just before he goes to stand before Pilate and proclaim he is a king, he chooses to sit around a table with the people he considers his family, just like we will be doing this week with our own. So before we do that, we're going to come to the communion table. We will do it with our church family, one that chooses to worship with and pray with and be in mission with each other. Before we come together to receive the elements, I want to make sure that all of you online know that it is still my sincere hope that you can find that same comfort and coming together at a table for communion as well. When you do that, I hope that you will think about the things and the places and the people that you are thankful for in your life. We will be doing that at our church. We'll be writing them down and sharing them with the new preacher. It is a time of prayer and contemplation. Let it also be a time of thanksgiving. Amen. I am thankful for each one of you, friends and listeners. I hope that this podcast in this form, these words that I'm given, bring you just as much joy as it brings me to write them down. I am thankful for you. And I hope that this week you will find a place to sit and share your thankfulness as well. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.